keep in mind that phrase from that song, "Keep Me from Secret Sin," it's going to tie very much into our lesson tonight. Let me explain a couple of things to start with. Number one is how I wound up here. Jeff is out of town. Most of you know that. I had someone else lined up to speak tonight, and they begged off and said, "Schedule me later." About that same time, we got the information we talked to you about, I guess Wednesday night, a week ago, about one of our men that we've been supporting being involved in some alleged pornography and things. So the elders felt like that would be a good subject for us to discuss together. So because of that, tonight we're going to talk about some sexual sins. Two rules of presentation I'm going to violate as far as the PowerPoint's concerned. One is the amount of data on a slide. My slides will be very busy, very crowded. I've got a lot of stuff to put on there tonight. And secondly is, you're supposed to talk from the slides and not read them. So I'm going to read a lot of slides tonight. A lot of them are things that are best just read off the slides. I'm going to start off with some statistics about pornography. And I don't want you to get caught up in the numbers. It's not the numbers that I want you to see. It's the trend. It's what's out there. And we'll start off this slide here. Every second, these are 2006 statistics, the most recent thing I could find. Every second, there's over $3,000 spent on pornography. This is on the Internet. There are nearly 30,000 Internet viewers who are viewing pornography. Every second, 372 Internet users are typing adult search terms into search engines. Every second. And then every 39 minutes, a new pornographic movie or video is being created in the United States. Revenue. These are the top four countries looking at revenue from pornography. China's first, nearly $30 billion annually. South Korea, $25 billion. Japan, $20 billion. And the United States, over $13 billion a year in revenue from pornography. So much, in fact, that if you take the combined revenue of Microsoft, Google, Amazon, eBay, Yahoo, Apple, Netflix, and Earthlink combined, the revenue from pornography annually exceeds the revenue of all these companies combined. At least that was the 2006 statistics. Internet searches. 2006. Over 75 million times the word sex was searched for on the Internet. 75 million times. Adult dating. Over 30 million. The word porn. Over 23 million. And parents, you can watch this one. We're going to talk about parents several times tonight. Teen sex was searched for nearly 14 million times. Adult DVD and free sex, both in the 13 million time range. Who's doing this? The term sex, searched for based on research, about equally between males and females. Adult dating, females, 2-1 nearly. Over the males. Adult DVDs, porn, very much weighted toward the males. But look at this one. Teen sex and free sex. More females searching for those terms than what there was males. There are 4.2 million pornographic websites. Over 420 million pages. Pornography available on the Internet. 68 million daily pornographic searches. 2.5 billion emails every day contain pornography. And nearly 43% of the users on the Internet say they view porn. And here's the one that's scary. Children, 11 years of age, 11, is the average age of the first internet user is exposed to pornography. 11. 80% of the 15 to 17-year-olds have had multiple hardcore porn exposures. In the 8 to 16-year-old range, 90%, according to research, have viewed porn on the internet, mostly while doing their homework. And this word Christians, I put in quote because this is the term that the world would use for Christians. 47% of the Christians say pornography is a major problem in the home. 47%. 70% of women keep their activities very secret. And women, far more than men, are likely to act out their behaviors in real life with multiple partners, casual sex, or affairs when they're exposed to this stuff on the internet. These numbers here are from a different study, but they coincide very closely to what we've already looked at. One study found that a third of the internet users visit an adult site at least once a month. A third. One in four workers view porn during working hours. And an estimated $3 million is spent $3,000 is spent every second on 420 million pages. The same numbers we had earlier. Those numbers are staggering to me. Just that much going on. What is pornography? Pornography is a broad general term that can include all sexually oriented material intended for the primary purpose to arouse the reader or the viewer or the listener. Its primary purpose is to arouse the reader, the viewer, or the listener. Some other definitions. It is sexually explicit pictures, writings, or other material whose primary purpose is to cause sexual arousal. Its primary purpose. The word pornography has its roots in the Greek. It comes from two words, porn and graph. Graph is a depiction with a picture, a drawing, and porn comes from the word prostitute. So it originally came from a drawing or a depiction of prostitutes, the source of the word pornography. Of course, it's pornosia in the Bible, it's often translated fornication or sexual immorality. We see it in the Bible. It is a depiction of erotic behavior intended to cause sexual excitement. The word originally signified any work of art or literature depicting prostitutes, which ties right back into the other definition. Pornography is a perversion, and it attacks everything God cherishes. God made man in His own image. And to take that body, that person made in God's image, and use it for such purposes as it's used for in pornography, violates God's intended purpose. We'll talk about this several times through the session tonight. Pornography is destroying the innocence of children. Look at this. It's estimated that 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 7 boys will be sexually molested before they're 18 years old. 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 7 boys. How's that tied to pornography? 77% of those who molested boys and 87% of those who molested girls say they were regular users of hardcore pornography. A direct relationship between child abuse and pornography. Pornography is also a lie. Pornography says that the best sex is outside of marriage. And that is not what God's intent was. It's not the way that's right. Even though it may seem right to people, it's not. And the internet's not the only source of pornography. There are other sources, adult magazines, Playboy, Penthouse, videotapes, motion picture, television, many other places that you can get pornography. And doing this digging out on and research I was doing on pornography, there were two subtopics that jumped out at me as related to that. Proverbs 7:10 says, "And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot." Or harlot and prostitute, the same term. So that says something about the attire, the address of one who would be a prostitute. Keep in mind, pornography is graphic depictions of a prostitute. So I was doing this looking and studying and research. This article popped up about provocative dress. I'm going to read it. There's on the slides. So whether you blame it on celebrities or just general cultural trends, there's no question that girls are dressing in a more sexually provocative way at a younger age than ever before. To deal with this issue, many schools have instituted a dress code that specifies things like minimum skirt length, and some schools have reverted to uniforms. Very provocative clothing just gets them into sexually deep waters they're not prepared to handle, said Madeline Levine, a child psychologist and author of this Price of Privilege. Parents need to set limits the old-fashioned way, Levine said. Explain to your child that she must abide by your rules and you have to feel comfortable with how she presents herself. Now, this is not coming from a preacher in the pulpit. This is coming from a child psychologist writing in this article here. She says, girls tend to go for sex image because it feels strong, powerful, and rebellious, experts say. And fashion offers a way for girls to define themselves in terms of image or identity. Provocative clothing. One of these articles referenced a blog, and those of you who don't know what blog is, it's a place where this person writes a comment and somebody responds back to it and just they write back and forth. It's a blog here from stay-at-home moms. This person here writing back says, "Hey, I'm 22, and I totally agree with you, Maria, the person who's written in before. I really hate immodesty. There's definitely a difference between immodesty and sexiness. You can be attractive without bearing it all. When I see a bunch of cleavage or miniskirts, I feel like girls have something to prove. I want to be respected," she says, "not stared at." Mike Galadnos, if I'm saying his name right, saw him yesterday on Headline News Network. He's an anchor on Headline News. He's quoted in one article he was writing in as saying that porn is worse than crack, speaking of crack cocaine. And he has an article here on the second topic that came out as a subheading of this pornography thing. This is the article he wrote. He says, "Parents, have you ever heard of the term sexting?" And you'll see in a minute how this ties into the topic. He says, "Whether you want to admit it or not, teenagers are sending sexual messages and naked pictures of themselves to their boyfriends and girlfriends. In most cases, it's the girl sending the picture or message to the guy. If you think you're thinking to yourself right now, what's the big deal? And you should think again." He says, and this is, again, this is not a preacher speaking, this is a news anchor man, says, "This practice can ruin our teenagers' lives." He says, "I've spoken with several attorneys on our show, and it seems there's no one reason why prosecutors are opting to charge teens with child porn instead of lesser charges." Some subreading I did said a picture of a less than 14-year-old is child pornography. And so when these girls send their pictures to their boyfriends and the police catch them, they're charging the boys with child pornography. That's what's on their phones and their computers. The national campaign to prevent teen and unplanned pregnancy teamed up with CosmoGirl.com and asked over 1,200 teens about their sexual behaviors in cyberspace. According to this study, 39% of the teens, 13 to 19, are sending or posting sexually suggestive material on instant messenger, text, or email. Around the same number of teens are receiving such messages. Half of those teens, like 20%, are sending or posting nude or semi-nude pictures of themselves. And this man says, that's frightening. He said, on our show, psychotherapist Stacy Kaiser said, what I'm finding is a lot of girls are doing this because they're hoping it will help them get or keep a boyfriend. He says, the numbers agree with this. According to the study, 51% of girls say that pressure from guys is making them send sexual messages and pictures of themselves. So the guys are expecting it, and the girls are saying, okay. That's scary. We'll look now just a minute at what some others are saying about pornography. These are not, we'll get to the scripture part here in a minute. This next slide, George Barna is a market research guy that specializes in studying religious beliefs and behaviors of the American people. He says, many men, Christians, again in quote, included, are caught in the deadly attraction to pornography. He says that as many as 1 in 6 pastors struggle or with or are addicted to pornography, based on his research. 1 in 6. He goes on and says, we can conclude, therefore, that in each of our churches, a sizable percentage of the men in our pews on Sunday morning are in the heat of a battle over this malady. Christians must become involved in the battle against pornography in order to protect themselves and fulfill God's call to be the salt and the light. Well, them will be able to protect the children, and other people we love from what's been called a pornographic culture. In the local newspaper this past week, there was an article by the Better Business Bureau, an advertisement by the Better Business Bureau, advertising a cyber safety booklet in the Athens paper. The quotation in there was from the FTC chairman, John Debowitz. He says, the conversations that make kids good digital citizens aren't about technology. They're about communicating your values as a parent, teaching kids to treat others like they'd like to be treated on their own line. Sounds a lot like Matthew 7. This book that they got is called Net Cetera. He said this booklet tells parents and teachers what they need to know to talk to their kids about issues like cyberbullying and sexting. That term again. Talking to the kids about these topics can help them steer clear of inappropriate content like pornography. Catholic Church on pornography. Pornography offends against chastity because it prevents the conjugal act, the intimate giving of spouses to each other. It does grave injury to the dignity of participants, since each one becomes the object of base pleasure and illicit profit for others. It immerses all who are involved in the illusion of a fantasy world and is a grave offense. Jerry Falwell, you've heard of him, criticized pornography on religious and moral grounds, saying sex is reserved for heterosexual married couples to be used according to God's will. And asserts that the use of pornography involves indulgence in lust. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Which is a sin and leads to an overall increase in sexual immoral behavior. Look at this one. Islam, the Quran, says, and tell believing women to lower their gaze and keep covered their private parts. And they should not show off their beauty except what is apparent. And let them cast their shawls over their cleavage. And let them not show their beauty except to their husbands. Pornography. Pornography attacks the dignity of men and women. As I said earlier, they were created in God's image. Distorts God's gift of sex, which is shared within the bounds of marriage. Verse 5 and 7, each man have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. Pornography ruins lives. This next slide, when I was working on this, Michael and Melissa were up here from Tuscaloosa visiting with us. And they are very much aware of a case where pornography is very much involved in the family's life. The husband is very deep into pornography. They were telling about this and how it related to the wife and to the child. I put this together and then let Melissa read through it. She said, yep, that's exactly what we're seeing. It ruins lives financially. Husband won't keep a job. Can't be trusted with money. In this case, the wife works. She put the money, her money in a separate account. He got her debit card to use it, her money to buy pornography with. It ruins lives by forsaking the children, not fulfilling the parental responsibilities that one has. And it forsakes the wife, who gains the pleasure from other sources. In this case, he becomes angry when challenged about it, shouts, and uses very vile, offensive language. Pornography will ruin a family life. I'm sorry, I got behind there. There are scriptures that specifically condemn the practices that come from pornography. These are all from the Old Testament. We won't take time to look at them. But all of these can come out of pornography. Sexual exposure, adultery, bestiality, homosexuality, incest, prostitution. These are all specifically forbidden in the Old Testament. We can look at each one of these verses there. Let's turn to some of the New Testament passages. The Bible warns against the misuse of sex. Premarital and extramarital sex are both condemned. 1 Corinthians 6:13-18, verse 18 particularly, says, flee sexual immorality. Again in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, abstain from sexual immorality. Just to hit the highlights of those two passages. Then, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus Sermon on the Mount, verses 27 and 28. Even the thoughts of sexual immorality, which are very definitely fed by pornography, are condemned. Let's look at this verse. Matthew 5:27-28. 27 says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. Jesus says, but I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. In his heart. Christ lays down the law. He puts it on the heart. If the heart is full of impure and unholy desires, one is guilty based on verse 28. It's our duty to keep the heart pure. And that'll be the focus of some of the things we'll talk about in the next couple of minutes. Keep the heart pure. That's where the problem starts. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. Any battle we wage spiritually, we start off with prayer. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And this is most definitely a tempting thing. Pornography. And then that battle be waged of what's talked about in Ephesians chapter 6. The middle and last part of the chapter, where it talks about the armor of God. And the phrase here says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, a very familiar verse. The New King James says, "Do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Look at that from a different translation, this very first phrase here, where it says, "And let not your behavior be like that of the world." We saw the statistics earlier of what the world is doing with pornography. Lots and lots and lots of it. Paul would say in Romans 12, verse 2, "Let not your behavior be like that of this world." So what are we going to do? Well, we've already referenced this verse. We'll keep ourselves pure by running from it, by fleeing immorality. We're going to replace it with things that are pure. Philippians 4, verse 8. Proverbs 23:7, the first part says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." I mentioned earlier, the place to start this is in the heart. You've got to stop the lust. Pornography will fuel the sexual desires in abnormal ways and eventually lead to more debased perversion. That's why I showed the verses from the Old Testament there earlier. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Abstain from the fleshly lust which war against the soul." So what are we going to do? Come back to parents again. Parents, teach a wholesome biblical view of sex to their children. Parents, teach a wholesome biblical view of sex to their children. I'm going to tell you where it's coming from. We're going to look at where we're being exposed to these kind of things. It can be magazines, TV shows, not just the internet, although a lot of it is there. And look at these inappropriate sexual themes that are there. And then again, parents, you've got to set the example for your children. You have to look at these stories, these programs, these songs and things, and see what they're being exposed to. Preachers and teachers should warn Christians about the dangers of pornography and instruct a proper view of sexuality. The message should be given to build a strong Christian home. But then this question comes. What do I do if I'm sitting here, like the slide I saw earlier when it said 1 in 6 pastors are guilty, and therefore there must be a lot of people on the pews that are guilty. What do I do if I'm guilty? Well, the answer is, you stop. You stop. Repent and resolve that I won't do this. Psalms 103:101, first part of verse 3 says, "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes." I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Job in Job 31, the first verse, says, "I made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I look upon a young woman?" Job made his mind up that he would do that. Those who keep their hearts pure, guard their eyes. They don't let in those things that would infiltrate and put trash in the heart. Michael and I were talking about this. He says, "How are you going to wind this thing up? How are you going to end this? What are you going to tell somebody to do when you get to that slide right there that's been involved in this?" Because the thing comes down, if you look at all the psychological things about it, is this an obsession or an addiction? I called Carolyn yesterday to get her to explain to me the difference between an obsession and being addicted to something. And I got those definitions, but still couldn't make much out of it. But in addiction to something, if you think about addicted to drugs or alcohol, there's something in that body that you can get help and you can flush it out. And it's out of your system. We're talking about this, and Russell made the point that says, once those pictures are in your mind, how do you flush them out? And it may take help from your brothers. It may take help from us. Jeremiah made the point to me yesterday. He said it may take somebody staying with that person 24 hours a day to make sure they stay away from it long enough to get it out of their system. It's not going to be an easy thing necessarily. But it's got to be done by all of us. I'll close by reading a short article by Greg Gwynn that I think applies very much to this topic. It's called Growing Calloused to Evil. Greg says, it's easy to tell if someone is experienced with hard physical labor. A simple look at their hands will show it. Those who work at such tasks develop thick calluses with repeated exposure to their work environment. The things that once irritated them and produced sore blisters now no longer hurt them. They've grown accustomed to these abrasives, and their bodies have adjusted to them. And there's no more adverse reaction. He says, sadly, too many Christians have developed a kind of spiritual callousness to the wicked world we live in. We're constantly bombarded by evil of every kind. We see it in person. We read about it. We view it on television. We hear it on the radio. We have unlimited access to it via the internet and other media. Our neighbors are involved in it. Our officials and our office are involved in it. Initially, all this evil irritates us. We're upset. We're disgusted by it. But gradually, a long exposure to these things, we become hardened. We've grown accustomed to the evil, so it no longer bothers us. We've adjusted to it all, and there's no more adverse reaction. We can view the immorality and not be shocked by it. We can hear the perverted deeds and not be repulsed. We're streetwise. We know about illicit sex, drug abuse, every sort of wickedness. We can talk about them with ease. We become calloused. The Lord does not want us to be this way. He desires us to live in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom. 2 Corinthians 1:12. He urges us to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. Romans 16:19. He commands us to think on things that are pure, lovely, and good report. Philippians 4, verse 8. Christians are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. James 1:27. I don't know your situation. I don't know if any of you have been involved in any of this. But whether it be this sin or anything else that's in my life or yours, this is what we got to do. Stop, repent, resolve to do better, and get help from those who need to help us. Tonight, if you need to make this right, or have not a Christian, need to become one tonight, we invite you to come to the front while we stand and sing.